Infinity Games Podcast.
But I did get to the part where he eats the chip.
That's the best part of that, like, whole series, honestly. That part's, like, next fucking level.
And then I'll eat the chip.
So ridiculous. And you're just like, wow, I really need a bag of chips right now.
Oh, boy. On that note, this is the Infinity Games Podcast, episode 14.
Yes, 14.
Not as unlucky as the last one.
I like 14. It's my favorite number times two.
It's the lucky number times two.
Yay!
I'm Jukebox Hero.
I'm Calyrex King.
And today, we're going to drop a little bit of knowledge on you. Got some Nintendo news.
Oh, shit.
Not shit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And, the fuck else are new?
We have a new segment.
Yeah.
The Jukebox thought up. And I was like, oh, shit. That's genius.
There's a lot of shit in here today.
I'm sorry, I'll stop.
Yeah, I'm just like a monkey throwing that around.
I had a lot of ice cream. I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh, God.
I'm not actually. I love ice cream.
Wait, weren't you like lactose intolerant at one point?
No, I was allergic to milk when I was a baby.
I mean, that's more or less the same thing.
No, but I could eat cheese and everything else just fine. It was literally just like milk.
Oh.
It was fucking weird.
Right. Because I remembered something about
that. But little baby Calyrex was like, nah, bitch, I'm a badass. Fucking chug, 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 chug. And now I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got them immunities or some shit.
Yeah. Them white blood cells.
Yeah. So, we've got the new segment, and the idea is we compare something that we take for granted now, something that we expect, some aspect of gaming that we expect to be there. And then we go look at what the alternative was like fucking 30 years ago and see how shitty it was.
Goddamn.
Just humble yourself, peasants.
Especially for any younger viewers. Because, I don't know. Do you want to give this segment like some kind of like intro? Like,
yeah, I'll put some music in there.
Hooray! But, so, I don't know if Jukebox said it, maybe I'm just, like, repeating words at this point, but the new segment's called Then and Now, or Now and Then. Yeah, sure, like, because I was saying it the one way, Jukebox was saying it the other way, so whatever. But yes, Then and Now. So, we're gonna talk about the cords on controllers, and even headphones and shit, it's the same thing these days, versus, you know, back when we were growing up. I just said cords. So, like, you know, back when we were younger and growing up, how everything had cords. Like, that's the phones had cords. The fucking big-ass, shitty
headphones
had cords. Your controllers had cords. I mean, hell, I had a cord when I came out of my mom. So, I mean, Jesus. But, whereas nowadays, where
plugged
it's like...
into the source.
Yeah, whereas nowadays, it's like... most people, if they want to use a corded controller or a pair of corded headphones or whatever, at this point, it's more of a choice than anything.
Yeah.
You actually have to kind of go out of your way.
You know, I'm just going to say we're already in this segment.
Yay.
Yeah. So, the main topic is going to be what makes a game great. We already mentioned that. Back to the segment.
Yay.
So... nowadays, the thing that we expect is that everything is wireless as far as controllers go, and then to an extension, headphones, speakers, wireless routers, telephones.
Yep.
So, I mean, not so far back, like start of the 2000s. Before that, you had almost no choice but to have a wired controller for your games.
Yep.
It was very rare thing that you had wireless. Like, the Atari 2600 had some wireless joysticks, I guess.
I forget. Did they actually work pretty well, or were they, like, just next-level glitchy?
I mean, they were a bit spotty, but they worked fine.
Yeah, for what they were, I mean, shit.
Yeah, it's like remote TV remote controls. Yeah. I mean, that was a new technology at late 70s, early 80s. I mean, it was the same thing. It was all infrared.
Yeah.
So the same thing kind of happened with the Atari controllers. They had a little antenna off them. It would send off a signal.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so like, yeah, Atari tried their hand at the wireless thing. And I mean, it worked. It was a cool gimmick at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd assume, I don't have an exact number, but I assume the wireless controllers probably weren't any kind of cheap.
No, probably not.
They were probably a fair bit of money. So, I mean, only like the really rich / spoiled kids would end up having them.
Yeah. And I mean, it was mostly a novelty to begin with, because mm-hmm. you don't go into an Atari collection expecting to find them or even hoping to find them, really, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then, like Jukebox said, like, moving into, like, the 2000s and stuff, the first, we kind of agreed that, like, the first console that kind of really had, like, a good wireless controller was probably the GameCube. Although, I forgot to mention this, because the GameCube had its really big share of shite fucking wireless controllers. Because me and my brother both had a wireless controller as well, and they were awful. They were god-awful because they were third-party and they barely worked.
I mean, that's what you get for going Mad Cats.
Well, that's just it, right? It's funny because they were Mad Cats. But so for anybody that felt like actually going the extra mile / actually knows anything about how to play games properly is if you had a GameCube and you were like, oh my God, I want a wireless controller, you bought a WaveBird. And the WaveBirds worked fucking awesome.
Yeah.
They were really responsive. To my knowledge, they were actually pretty lenient with the batteries. I mean, batteries, they'll fucking die out eventually, but
I'm pretty sure, because I only have one WaveBird, I think I get about 25 to 30 hours out of the battery.
Which is pretty fucking good, because it takes, what, two AA's?
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty standard, right?
Yeah.
And then, go ahead.
So with the WaveBird, you actually have a little dial where you can adjust the frequency, so if you notice that you're getting, like, a spotty reception, perhaps you have some radio noise from other devices throwing off frequencies and stuff.
Yeah.
You could just adjust your dial until you saw the little light on the receptor on the controller port.
Yeah.
Lit up when you press the button.
Yeah.
So that kind of solved a problem for, like, those spotty issues that, like, the Atari 2600 wireless controllers would have, because you could actually adjust it.
And I wanted a WaveBird so bad back in the day.
Yeah.
So bad.
Which is funny, because I didn't even know they existed, but I also didn't really have anything back then.
Well, yeah. So my brother and I, when we were growing up, we had these super shitty wireless GameCube controllers, and we also just had, like, a standard GameCube controller each, right? So the problem was, where our couch was to where, like, the TV was and where the GameCube was a fair distance. So my parents bought us extensions. And these things were the weirdest looking things known to fucking man. It was literally like a coiled up
wire
cylinder. It was just coiled wire around a cylinder. So you'd fucking snap off you disconnect the piece of holding it together plastic so it doesn't unwind on you, you know.
The latch or whatever.
Yeah, roll it out all the way, plug it into your GameCube, and then on the top or / whatever
side
on
of the cylinder.
Yeah, on the one flat side of the cylinder, there was a fucking port that you'd plug your cord into. So it was just so strange to see your GameCube controller having its wire go into the side of the cylinder and then your cord shooting off of that 90 degrees out of the extender to go to the GameCube. Like, it was nifty and they worked super good. They were great, especially considering I think they were only like $5. But, like, it was just a weird thing to see, right?
Yeah. And, I mean, even if you had, like, one of those L-shaped PS1 multi-taps, even then your shit didn't shoot out sideways.
No, it all went in pretty straight.
I remember those things, because, yeah, if you were on your couch and you wanted to use the GameCube controllers, you'd be, like, leaning way the fuck forward like this.
Yep. And then
arms extended.
Yeah, Jukebox and I were just like, you know what, fuck it, this is bullshit. These things look weird and they are annoying to deal with, but, I don't want back problems when I'm 23. Guess what I have now? No back problems.
I do.
Yeah, Jukebox does.
I'm not 23. Maybe I'll be better when I'm 23.
You'll, like, wake up on the true 23rd birthday. I feel great.
I take that back.
I just shattered 14 vertebrae. Do you even have that many? I don't know, but I shattered them all.
Fuck.
I just think, I don't know, because it's funny for Jukebox and I too, when he mentioned to me, like, hey, I have a new segment, I was like, oh shit, let's hear it. Sorry. Oh shit.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And I was like, let's hear it. And he was like, then and now. And I was like, oh, that's actually fucking awesome. And the first thing he mentioned was like cords versus cordless. And I just thought it was hysterical because how many fucking times when we were growing up, were we like, I can't wait for the day when kids literally don't understand what a corded controller is.
That's why I brought it up. Cause we always joke about that because like starting in the seventh generation of consoles with like the 360 and stuff is when all controllers released were wireless. And the only time where you had to actually wire them is when they were dying or you had to sync them to a console.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was mostly for the 360 and the PS3 because the Wii U was always wireless. The Wii was always wireless unless you plugged a GameCube controller in there.
I always thought that was a nifty little addition that they did.
Yeah.
That you could plug a GameCube controller into it.
I even like on the Wii U how they have that adapter.
Oh, yeah, for like Smash. Yeah. Fucking nifty.
Yeah. So that was 2005.
Yeah.
If you think, it's already been 12 years. Kids who are now within junior high.
Yep.
Yeah, junior high.
Yep.
Would have never had a corded video game console
and or
controller.
Or they would have been very unlikely to own one.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like how I never really experienced pixels. I only had 3D polygons in the age that I was.
I just think it'll be hysterical, like, if and when you and I have kids or anything.
What's that?
They'll literally invite their friends over, and their friends will be like, what the fuck is that? It's an NES. What the fuck is an NES?
Watch your mouth.
Yeah. It's from... Yeah. Only I swear in my motherfucking house. But yeah, it'll be like, what's an NES? It'll be like, oh, they're from the 80s. That long ago? Yeah, man, my parents are old. Me and Jukebox will just be like, my heart!
It'll be even more sad because that's like 10 years before us, really.
Yeah, right? We're like the nerd says in his one video, god damn it, I was born too early.
Oh, god.
Except we were born too late.
Yep. Fuck. So, yeah, with controllers and stuff, I mean, we just expect them to be wireless now. We kind of extended that to speakers and headphones.
Yeah.
So, especially with headphones, what you're noticing now is there's a lot more that are Bluetooth connected.
Mm-hmm.
And it took another step forward with the, I don't think they have the iPod Touches anymore, but the, what do they call them? The AirPods?
Yeah, they're dumb.
Yeah, the Apple AirPods, which is like their shitty-ass fucking in-ear earbuds, but without a fucking wire so you can lose them easier.
Yeah.
They're connected by Bluetooth. They cost like $280 or some shit.
True story, though. When me and my girlfriend, Alexa Queen, when we were at West Ed, must have been a few weeks ago or whatever, legit saw a kid wearing those.
Yeah.
Saw like a 15-year-old kid walk by us with those, and I was like, fuck, sucks to be you.
No kidding.
Yeah, but like cords and everything, they extend, like Jukebox said, it extends to speakers, it extends to headphones. I mean, shit, you could even argue that that it extends to like playing video games in general now. It's like there was an online play back when we were growing up, or if there was, it was really fucking sketchy.
Oh, it was super limited. Like, yeah. If you think of a Dreamcast 56K modem, yeah. You had to wire yourself to the fucking phone line across the room.
Yeah. So it's like as far as corded stuff, it's like, have you guys ever heard of a fucking like LAN party for Diablo or Halo? Because I sure as fuck have.
Yeah, fucking Xbox.
Oh yeah.
You can literally just daisy chain them together.
Yeah.
With a fucking Cat 5 cable.
Yeah, and just all LAN party. All play. Yeah, fucking.
You all get your own TV, so there's no screen peeking.
Yeah, fucking good shit. But yeah. So I mean, corded it plays into everything. I mean, shit. I have. Oh, I don't know. I'll say one more thing, and then we'll probably just wrap this up. But it's like...
I got one more thing.
Okay, Jukebox has one more thing, too. No!
But, Damn it.
Like, me and my girlfriend, we both play PlayStation 4. We both play, like, Destiny and, you know, Destiny.
But, one time you played ukulele.
That one time I played ukulele. Hey,
and it was
twice.
The greatest thing
a
ever.
A few times. I gotta play that again. But, so, like, I have a corded headset. It plugs into, I have two ports. It plugs into the back of my PlayStation. It plugs into one of the USBs on the front of my PlayStation. I'll have to ask you, because I don't know what the fuck the one connection is. It's like a weird, like, flat on the bottom, round on the top, and then it has two little prongs coming out of it. It's super weird.
Like a proprietary thing? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'll have to show you. It comes out of my mix amp or whatever. And then, so the cords go into my mix amp, and then I plug my headset into my mix amp, and it's like great mint quality. Whereas my girlfriend, she has a wireless Skullcandy headset. And it's the same thing. It works super good. It's just there are a lot of times where it's like she hates the idea of corded headsets because she hates having the extra cords in the way. But she also hates having to charge her fucking headset. Because there have been times where it's like, yes, we'll be playing Destiny and we'll be like in the middle of a raid and her headset starts dying. And it's like, shit. Yeah, okay.
No kidding.
So it's like, now what? Now she has to take her headset off, put it on its little charging pedestal, plug it in, go and get like a pair of like iPod headphones, plug those into her controller, and then immediately her sound quality goes to poop.
Right.
And it's like, it's a dangerous game we play with this wireless stuff. But so recently, so now these days she's like, I want a new headset eventually and I want a corded headset. And I'm like, that's a good idea. Because then you're cutting out the middleman. You don't have to worry about fucking charging it. I mean, worst case scenario, you have to plug your headset into your controller and maybe your controller dies a little faster. We have two controllers each for a reason.
Yeah.
So.
So that kind of brings into what I was going to say. The biggest pro that we still have to wired controllers and devices. The only reason why you may want a wired controller, or if you don't have one, is that there is minimal latency.
That ping dough.
Yeah. So with wireless, there's always going to be some time between when the signal is sent off, received by the system, and then processed. Whereas with wired, it's just a direct line to the system.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, there's no RF radio frequencies or anything that can get in the way of that signal. And the same extends to headphones and stuff, is there can be latency and there can be distortions because of any other devices around you.
Yeah. Like, that's so... Like,
and no charging.
And no charging, which is always nice.
Yeah.
But, like I was saying with the ping and the latency, it's like, for example, that's why when you're playing Call of Duty and you die and you swear to Christ that you went behind a wall or you fucking shot him first or whatever, it's like, yeah, sure, maybe you did, but the game didn't see it that way. The game saw it as, oh shit, I need a command. And then it's like, you know, you die. And then immediately it's like, oh, now I'm supposed to shoot. How dare you not be prophetic?
Hashtag lag.
Hashtag lag. But, so I think that wraps up our first episode of /episode/segment/ fuck me, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Segment. You're tired.
I'm tired. I had a 14-hour day.
We'll blame it on that.
But, of then and now, it's
then.
Fuck me.
No, I'm fucking with you.
I hope so. Too tired for this shit, Jukebox. But I got really excited when Jukebox said then and now, or now and then, or God whatever, because it's a topic we can easily talk about.
Yeah, because we have experience with consoles all the way back to the 80s.
Yeah, it's like, I grew up, I had an NES, I had a Super Nintendo, I had a fucking Master System at one point.
Yeah, which Jukebox, still blows my mind.
Yeah, Jukebox can't get over that.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
Yeah, but, like, so it's like, we've been through the ringer, you know? Like, I literally went from an NES to a Super Nintendo, and then those got taken away because me and my friends always fought. I mean, video games don't make you violent, hashtag lag.
nice.
Just to paraphrase, video games make you extremely violent, but
not actually
they make you violent towards your game, but shit, I made a joke and now my train of thought was like vroom. Yeah, But so it's like I've had all these game systems, and it's like we went from like those old ones, we got Game Boy Advances, and then we went to a Nintendo DS, and then we got a GameCube, and then my dad, he found a really awesome deal in, believe it or not, a catalog for The Brick. And it was either a 360 for X amount, and it came with fucking Soul Calibur 4 and one other game and whatever, or a PS3 for X amount, and it came with Soul Calibur 4 and whatever. And it was like, shit. He was like, which one do you want? Because we're only getting one. And I was like, well, I'm a fucking smart kid, so we're getting PlayStation, because A, PlayStation 2, Kingdom Hearts 2, that shit's awesome. Also, free online.
Yep.
Because fuck Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. So now everything's going to be paid.
Yeah, and then, I mean, and then, you know, time went on again, and it's like I got, and then I got a PS4, and then I got a Wii U, and then I bought an Xbox One that I barely ever played, and then we bought my girlfriend a PS4, and then I got a fucking gaming PC, and now I have a really, really expensive gaming laptop that I barely ever use.
Uses it to record.
Yay! Could have done that on a fucking Toshiba.
Yeah, like mine.
Ha ha!
My shitbox that we're recording on right now is 8 years old. 9 years old.
Old AF fam.
Yeah, and it's a laptop. It wasn't strong to begin with.
I swear to God, Jukebox is going to like shoot me a picture of this thing on fire one day, and he's going to be like, bro, it's lit. Like, clearly.
I sure as hell hope not, because like 4 months ago, I opened this thing out and completely cleaned it and replaced all like the thermal paste and shit. It runs fairly cool now.
Yay.
So yeah, okay, we have like a wide breadth of video games under our belt. Like, now I did it.
LOL!
I caught you earlier.
Shit!
But, fucking Kelrix, you know, he started at the beginning and worked his way forward. I started at the end and worked my way back.
Yeah!
But we've experienced all this shit. So maybe, if you want, you know, tweet at us at games_podcast, maybe comment on our Facebook at Infinity Games Podcast, or just, you know, leave a comment on the YouTube. Like, is there something that you remember from your childhood that like doesn't exist anymore?
I mean, hell,
in regards to gaming?
I mean, hell, what game system did you start out with? What was your first game system? Because I love hearing about that shit.
Well, like my parents had the NES,
mm-hmm.
and I played that briefly, I guess.
Yeah, not much.
Not much. And then we got an N64 at a garage sale, 2000 and something.
I'm forever
2004-ish.
Salty. 2004-ish. Forever salty. I never had a fucking N64. I still don't. I've literally never owned one.
Yeah. So, like, I'm pretty sure I found one for you and you're like, nah.
I was just super broke at the time, I think. Probably. I was like, oh.
But yeah, so we had the N64, but we only had the one game, Mario Kart 64. Mm-hmm. And then eventually we got Bomberman, but I never played that.
Bomberman.
The first real console that I had was the Wii. Like, that's the one where I'd actually, like, buy games for in, you know, current.
Jukebox. Jukebox. Calyrex. Calyrex. He twitched.
Classic. Because no one knows what the hell we're talking about. And the game Red Steel, fucking, we're playing together. Killed a motherfucker. He's like on the ground and he just starts glitching and like twitching and shit. So he's like, we twitched. And fucking pull out the Uzis. Fucking. Just empty like 4 clips into it. All of our ammo gone.
And then we walk away and then I'm like, wait. Walk back. He twitched again. Empty one more clip into it, just for good measure.
Literally all of our ammo.
The next few fights were difficult. Yeah. But.
Good times.
Yeah. So yeah, like I started out my first, I consider my first like hardcore console to probably be a game. Home console was GameCube.
Yeah.
Cause I went fucking hard on the GameCube. Game Boy Advance, I went hard on as well. But I mean,
yeah, same.
There's a big difference, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, cause it's like, I was all about, I had a Game Boy Color too. So I was, it's like, I was all about the Pokemon and I was all about the old Zelda games. Like, shit, what is it? Oracle of Ages, I had, which was fucking so much funny, even though I literally to this day haven't beaten the second dungeon boss, because he's bullshit.
So, hold on, correct me if I'm wrong, because the way I'm kind of looking at this is, like, the first console where we considered it our console and, like, one that we regularly used and bought mm-hmm. games for and stuff is kind of the point where we actually chose what games we wanted and stuff. Like, had a more like a higher degree of input on what we actually wanted out of it, not just like, oh, look at this box, mom.
Lol, my Fire Emblem story.
Yeah.
But in that case, definitely GameCube, because at that point, I think I was like 9 or 10, so I understood.
Mario, good. Batman, bad.
Yeah, pretty much. But so yeah, it's like, I understood more or less that, you know, some games could be good and some games could be bad, because when you're fucking 6 years old playing a game, you don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You're like, this is amazing. And it's like you're playing Super Cool as a ghost and you're getting one shot, fucking can't take more than 10 steps, but, you know, you're having fun. You don't care. But, anyway, so we'll wrap up then and now, and we'll move on to our, like
the third time.
Our, like, yeah, for the third time.
Hey, look, a segue. Did you know that this a Super NES Classic came out?
Really?
It didn't come out, it was announced.
Is coming out, yeah. So, our second, like, little, like, mini main topic is that, because Jukebox and I talked about this, I don't know what episode it is. Usually we're both really on top of that, but, we talked about in one episode how bullshit it was that the NES Classic had such a small run.
Yeah.
Right? So we were both saying, like, oh, this and this, and we were speculating about the SNES Mini or the SNES Classic or whatever, and like, oh, I hope these games are on it, and I hope they do a better run. Also, I found that Nintendo announced that there will be a much bigger
production run
for SNES Classic, so it should be a lot easier to get your hands on.
Yeah, because with the NES Classic, it was so, like, it was sold out immediately everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, once in a while they trickle in and they're just gone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I'll regale the story in like super short point form, but I had a chance to get an NES Classic once. I had the money. I was just skeptical about spending the money. I literally was at EB Games, saw them. They had six. I went home 10 minutes, like 5 minutes later. I was literally at EB Games and 5 minutes later, I phoned them to see if they could put one on hold. And they were like, oh, no, sorry, we're out.
Yeah.
5 minutes. Six systems. Gone. That's a system like every 50 seconds.
Yeah. They probably had like all their friends on speed dial like, hey, they're back.
Yeah, right?
Just like, we got the connections.
We got your hookup. But,
Scrubs like us are just like, fuck.
Yeah, right? The worst possible time to be poor as shit. I will get an SNES Classic though, because I have a current monetary, like, financial plan in place to be able to pay off my Visa in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you have a job.
So, yeah, I have a job again for the first time in a long time. But I mean, I actually budgeted out and everything, so I'm like,
oh good,
my Visa's dead as of like July 11th or some shit.
Nice.
But
it's pretty soon,
right? So, like, I'm getting an SNES Classic.
I'm probably not, but I'll play his.
Yeah, I'll get it. I'll be like, Jukebox, the thing. I'll be there. My door will be kicked in within 30 seconds.
Keep the thing in your pants.
Yes.
I want to play the SNES.
I'll be like, Jukebox, shit, how fast did you drive your Mustang? No, dude, I ran. Mustang's too slow.
You ever see that movie, The Tuxedo, where the tuxedo's like running for him? He's running alongside the car on the highway. That'll be me.
Yeah, but like way faster.
And a more vibrant suit jacket.
More handsome. The briefcase. But, so accurate. Yeah. So the SNES Classic was announced. It comes out on September 29th. I don't know why I'm telling you people this, because you're all competition to get one. But,
We'll just assume you don't live where we live.
I'll kill a granny for one. I swear to God I will. No. Off the record. Off the record.
What was that? Yeah. No, I'm leaving that in.
Yay.
We all know he's kidding.
Do it. Anyways, so when Jukebox and I talked about it, we talked about some of the games we'd like to see on it. And of course, a couple of the like standard ones where it's like we want a Mega Man X game, which is on there. We wanted like Mario Kart, which is obvious. It's obvious. No,
I wanted Yoshi's Island too. And that's on there.
And that's on there. I wanted Mario RPG. That's on there, which I thought was just fucking awesome.
Yeah. That was one of the big ones. And my big one is that there has to be like a Final Fantasy 3. They need that third party support. Mm-hmm. And Earthbound.
Yep.
Cause they have it on Virtual Console now. You know, it's a possibility it could be on here. Like, yep. It's still like a cult classic. Most people don't actually know what the fuck it is still, but it's there.
Yay. Also, Final Fantasy 3 or Final Fantasy 6. because I don't understand why translations are hard, but somebody's going to like comment and be like, translate this, and it'll be Japanese, and I'll be like, Google Translate. What you got? Apparently your chicken ate an alligator. I don't know. But a couple of other ones on there are Super Castlevania 4, which I think is pretty cool.
Hold on. That's a really impressive chicken.
Right? Armageddon chicken. True story. Oh, Miss Peregrine books. Read them.
Oh, God.
Yeah, tell your sister. I literally read all three of them.
Nice.
In like 2 weeks.
Nice. I will tell her.
Yay. Really good. Awesome ending. Slightly off topic. If you haven't read those books, do yourself a favor. Go read them. They're wonderful.
I don't know if she's read the third one yet, but I know they were on her like wish lists for Christmas and stuff. She compiles a wish list on the Indigo. I don't know what they call it, but if you use her number, you get plum rewards and stuff.
That's cool.
And last time I checked it, it was like 30 pages long.
Jesus.
She reads a lot.
I mean, she's a nurse. I'd be reading a lot at that point, too.
Yeah.
But another really cool one that I think is on there is Secret of Mana.
Yes.
I'm excited about that.
I feel like that one's just as obscure as like Earthbound, if not more so.
Agreed. Now. Super Metroid is on there, which is, again, we figured that was pretty much, like, mandatory.
Yeah, that's, like, the most classic Metroid.
Yeah.
It's, like, widely regarded as the best, unless you take the 3D route.
I mean, even comparing it to, like, the Primes and stuff, I still think it's probably the best one ever, and I haven't even played it.
You want to play it? I have it.
I mean, I'll get it in September.
Oh, yeah, but you're, like, sitting right here.
I know, but I gotta go home and eat after this. I'm like, nom nom.
Yeah, man.
Donkey Kong Country is another one. Again, I don't know if we predicted that, but again, it was one of those ones where it's like, if you actually thought about it, yeah, it's like, one of those like mandatory ones.
Like, how do you think of the Super NES and not think Donkey Kong Country?
Yeah.
Like, the ones that are surprising to me are Kirby's Dream Course.
Considering I didn't even know what that was, I'm very taken aback.
Yeah, it's pretty much Kirby Mini Golf. Like, I feel like that one was just kind of thrown in, especially because there's another Kirby game on there, Kirby Superstar.
I think that's, like, the hidden gem of the entire thing. It's, yeah, like, literally, like, hey, we're putting Kirby on here. Have fun with, like, 8 games.
Yeah. It was, like, it has Dreamland on there. I don't even care about the rest, but they're there.
Yay! But, yeah, what else?
Punch-Out, Super Punch-Out is also a little bit weird to me, but I do suppose, you know, it's Nintendo first party.
Yeah.
So it deserves its place. Yeah,
Super Ghouls and Ghosts, which is cool. Everybody needs a good fucking colon cleansing every now and then. And then Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting.
Yeah, the good one.
The good one. That's on there, so I think that'd be fun. Jukebox, and I'll have some fun playing that.
I kind of like that, because if I scroll up here, it actually shows they want their controllers back, because back in the day with Street Fighter 2, if you got it on Genesis versus Super Nintendo, is you had to buy a completely separate controller to have 6 buttons.
Yep.
So it was better to get it on the Super NES, except it's a weird button layout because you have 4 and then the shoulders are separate.
Yeah. But I mean, so the one that I find, I don't really understand why everybody's losing their mind over it. Like, I get it, but it's still kind of odd to me, is they put Star Fox on it, which is fine because Star Fox was a huge Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and I looked into it earlier, is once you beat the first level of Star Fox, you unlock the ability to play Star Fox 2.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal because it was never released. It was, like, damn near fully completed. It was like, a finished game, and then they were just like, throw it in that garbage can over there.
Yeah, we're moving on to the N64.
Yeah, exactly.
No, the Ultra 64 at the time.
Ultra! Fuck off. Could you imagine if they actually called it the Ultra 64, and then it would have been, like, instead of fucking everything 64, it would have been Ultra Mega Man and Ultra Mario and Ultra Castlevania, and it would have been like, God, shut the fuck up.
I mean, the 64 is annoying enough, but like, if you went from like normal SNES to Super Nintendo to Ultra Nintendo, like, it's just progressive steps upwards.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of like the new Mario Bros. What happens when you release the new Mario Bros. Or some shit? Like, what happens to the old ones? They're not new anymore. What happens once you reach Ultra? What comes next? Mega? What's after Mega? What's greater than Mega?
Perfect.
Perfect. What's after Perfect?
Me.
If you say so.
Hey.
Kyle Rickson is ego.
It's huge.
It's not the only thing that's huge.
Yeah, my my self-doubt and depression are also quite sizable. Fuck. Anyways. But and then there's a couple of other like really standard ones that are like they were mandatory, right? It was like there's Super Mario World. Scrolling past it, goddammit.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that right there. F-Zero, which I'd actually forgotten about until Jukebox stopped scrolling the damn keypad. And
I was looking at the other shit.
Yay. And then A Link to the Past. So those are all like the kind of like, those are all like they have the five. They have Mario World, Mario Kart, A Link to the Past, F-Zero, and Super Metroid. And I think those are probably like the five that like they first were like, these need to be in here.
Yeah.
These are like our top selling fucking SNES games. Like we're not doing this without these on there.
Yeah.
And then all the other stuff was they just went through some of the other like couple of cult classics, because when Jukebox and I were talking about it, I didn't honestly think they were going to put Mario RPG on there.
No.
I'm really happy they did, but I wasn't expecting it. No. I honestly thought Chrono Trigger would go first.
You know, actually, no, I feel like Super Mario would have before that just because it's first party.
That's true.
Or at least it's partially first party.
That's true.
I feel like Donkey Kong Country, if it wasn't for the fact that it was created by Rare, would have been up in those first five.
Most likely.
Because that was, like, one of the top sellers.
Mm-hmm. That game literally sold SNESs.
Yeah.
So, a couple of things that, like, we'll touch on this briefly when we get more info on it in a future episode. But it's like, I'm curious to know if they fix the issue of how fucking short the NES Classic's control cords was. Cords. I really hope they fix that. Cords. Puns. Tie-ins. Damn, we're good. But,
We planned that.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. We planned the whole thing where the NES had short cords. That was our idea. We were in the boardroom. We're like, short cords, we're doing a segment like months from now.
Yeah, we're literally in a year, we're going to start a podcast. And then like two, three months after that, we're going to talk about cords. And we need this to tie in. And Nintendo was like, you got it. We got you.
We got like three people counting on us. They need to hear this.
Yeah.
Make your cord short.
Let's do this. Reggie was like, word.
Oh boy.
But yeah, so I'm super hyped up for the SNES Classic. If anybody's curious, it's $80 US.
Yeah.
Which means so it'll
probably be like 100 it'll be a Canadian.
110 buck 20, something like that Canadian, which I mean, okay, still so, not stupid expensive.
So I really like to point out Final Fantasy 3, depending on which of our local game stores you go to, will cost the same as the SNES Classic.
Yeah, no fucking kidding.
Like, it's the same thing with the NES Classic, just a little bit more so, because I don't think there was any games on the NES Classic that were worth as much as these ones are.
No, because a couple of the really expensive ones are, like, Final Fantasy III, Mario RPG.
Like, Earthbound. Come on, Earthbound is still, like, $300 fucking dollars. Yeah, Earthbound's Canadian.
Still $300 if you get it with a guide.
No, without the guide.
Without the guide,
without
still.
The guide.
Jesus, fuck.
Oh, yeah, so people know we're Canadian, so we think in Canadian dollars.
Christ almighty, you lucked out hard when you got that $50 lot.
Actually, it was $40. I got a Super NES, two controllers, they're shitty-ass cords, I mean, fuck that. And then just all of, like, the best fucking games, including, like, Earthbound, Mega Man X, Donkey Kong Country, Super Mario World, Super Mario Kart. I don't know what else I got in there. There's a couple lesser, like, Super Off-Road and, like, Gradius 3, but...
Still awesome.
Still, it was like the best fucking find in the world. It's like, hey, this one Mega Man game pays for this entire lot, and I got my most wanted game ever, Earthbound.
Yeah. Jukebox literally, he didn't show up for school for a while. He was like, Earthbound.
No, I had perfect record.
Yeah, perfect record. But,
Fucking, they also had some game, like, I got some manuals in that hall.
Super NES that's right, games. You did too.
But they also had some Game Boy, like, original Game Boy, so they had, like, Final Fantasy Legends 3.
Jesus Christ.
Which, if I remember, wasn't actually a Final Fantasy game. They just slapped the name on it. I think it was literally like a Star Tropics on the Game Boy.
Oh, probably.
I don't remember. But I was like, hey, do you have these?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we don't know. I think they literally just didn't want to go look, but I wouldn't doubt if they got rid of them already. Yeah.
Fuckers.
That's okay. I got some extra manuals now for when I do find the games.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, so we that just got announced today, the SNES Classic. So we definitely, we had to mention it.
Yeah,
it
was just, our hype.
Yeah, because
it's real.
Yeah, I'm fucking stoked. I'm super excited to get one.
Yeah.
Because like I said, like I'm getting one. Like I don't fucking care. I'll do what I gotta do. But
watch out, grannies.
Yeah, watch out, grandma. What, you want to get that for your grandson for his birthday? Tough shit. Kid's gonna learn real fast. Life ain't fair.
Yeah.
But
so I think we're gonna move on now.
Yeah, to our main topic of what makes games good.
I'm just gonna play that part at the start of the last episode where I put the game in the system and play it and it makes me feel good. It's a good game.
Please do. Sweet God. I was so okay. Proud of that performance.
if the game goes in the system and it turns on and it has a fun time, it makes the game good.
So
need an Oscar for that.
Yeah, no kidding. Actually, thank you. Thank you. Leo, I see you crying over there. Fuck off. You thought The Revenant was good. Nah, bitch.
No. It's an audio recording and we're Canadian. You're going to get a Juno.
Yes. Wait, I don't want a pregnant teenager. What the fuck?
Fuck that movie. All I remember from it is running guys and her saying pork swords. And that was the first time I ever heard pork swords.
Jukebox. His vocabulary expanded widely that day.
The one word. It opened so many doors.
Yay, doors. Were they opened with pork swords?
Yes.
Swing.
They were swinging doors.
Sweet Jesus.
When they opened, it was like, blah, 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 that little fucking door stopper noise.
That's what those little things in the back doors are. They're pork swords.
Exactly.
Yay. So but
one day when we're like famous, some young lady's going to go back and listen to this and be like, wow, I never knew.
No. Episode 298. Don't do that. But
I could only hope.
Fuck. I mean, fucking video games ain't going nowhere.
Super side tangent. You know John Jacobson from John's Arcade I've told you about?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he has the Video Game Outsiders podcast.
Okay.
They were like pioneers of this shit. They're on like episode 600.
Jesus Christ.
Like they were there when like fucking podcasts first started. That reminded me of that when you're like episode 298.
So was like, Jukebox was like, wait, 600. But we both understand that starting a main topic with what makes games good is pretty fucking vague.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, I mean,
if the game goes in the system and it turns on and it has a fun time, it makes the game good.
I'm ashamed of that. Anyways.
That's okay. I'll just take the other one, slap it over top again.
Yes! Don't editing.
Worry. Your Juno is safe.
Suck my dick.
Okay, but present it.
Whoa.
Right on the podcast.
Slurping sounds. Anyways. So it's more, we're not going to like heavily debate like, oh, this game is good for this reasons and this game is good for this reasons. It's more like one thing we both agree on is good games have wicked soundtracks.
Yes.
If not passable soundtracks. Like it's...
So, okay. Ukulele, because we fucking love the shit out of that game. Go listen to episode 4.
Love that episode.
Lots of people fucking hate it, but they still at least agree that the soundtrack is amazing, because it's the same shit that was out on the N64.
It's so cute and bubbly and wonderful.
Yeah, because they got like the three composers. It was like Grant Kirkhope, the guy who did like Banjo-Kazooie's soundtracks, and then like David Wise, who I'm pretty sure he's the one who did like the what's the cart thing? Mine carts in Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah. Oh, that fucking theme song. Whoa.
And then the other guy whose name I literally can never remember, but he also did some really big Rare games too.
That guy that did the stuff.
Oh yeah, he did Grab by the Ghoulies and Cameo.
Nice.
So, like, the stuff once Xbox acquired them.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, they got, like, three amazing fucking composers. So, even if you hate that game, you're at least bobbing your head.
Yeah, you're like, yay!
You're like, oh, this fucking camera. I need the soundtrack.
I don't understand how people fucking shit on that game so hard. I thought it was just wonderful.
Go listen to episode 4.
Yeah. That.
If you're wondering, it's the one about ukulele.
It's literally, like, our most popular episode. So yeah, it's, we both agree that soundtrack is a big thing. And I swear to God, if I get a comment or a tweet or anything saying, well, what about graphics, Kelrix? I will find you and I will disagree with you.
Find your comment and disagree with it.
Yes. Big thumbs down.
Yeah, graphics never make a game. No. They only enhance it.
They improve it. And in some cases, bad graphics can actually make a game better, in my opinion, because it's like...
Well, it comes down to what your definition of bad would be.
That's true.
Because, you know, for a lot of people, especially nowadays, kids and stuff, they're used to, you know, hyper-realistic Call of Duty type stuff. You know, you get a pixelated game, even if it's done well, like Shovel Knight, where it's like perfect 16-bit glorious sprite art.
Yep.
They're like, oh, you can see the squares, gross.
Yeah, right? And it's like, right? No, it's beautiful.
Yeah, like expand your horizons a little bit. Yeah. But, it's like even Katamari Damacy, which is like one of my favorite series of all time. Everything in there is comparable to like the low poly 3D art nowadays.
Yeah.
It's just an aesthetic, really.
And I mean, so just touching on graphics real quick, it's like, okay, like let's take for example, it's not out yet. Neither of these two examples are, but I mean, there's more than enough gameplay to see is God of War 4 and Kingdom Hearts 3. Kingdom Hearts 3, for example, runs on Unreal Engine 4, which makes it look absolutely fucking stunning. Like, it's just next level gorgeous. So, if you took Kingdom Hearts 3, like the entire game, and you gave it original PlayStation 2 Kingdom Hearts 1 graphics, like, okay, yeah, like, it's gonna hurt the game a little bit, because it's just all of the amazing stuff that they did because they were able to use Unreal 4, they're not going to be able to pull off. So, I mean, yeah, the graphics in that case are going to hurt the game a little, but at the same time, like, Kingdom Hearts 1 didn't look bad.
Yeah.
You know, it was still absolutely gorgeous, and it was the same with God of War. Like, the new one, it looks fucking stupid good.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's in 4K now, too.
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah.
All your pixels.
All my pixels. But, So it's the same thing. If you took the new God of War and you were somehow able to give it original God of War 1 graphics, yeah, it's going to take away from the enjoyment of the game a little bit, because a big part of games nowadays is showing off all the detail that you can put into them.
And, you know, if God of War literally never improved its graphics in a sense, like they kept them the exact same as God of War 1, if you've grown to expect that graphical quality... then if God of War 4 was in the style of God of War 1, you wouldn't care. It's only the fact that they've been increasing, you know, fucking, I don't know, the polygon counts and, like, their textures look better. There's more shading and stuff. It's only that they've been increasing that you expect the new games to look the way they do.
Exactly.
So if you took away the graphics and stuff, the gameplay's still there.
Yeah.
That's the most important part, is that, like, it's solid gameplay, right?
Exactly. Like, that's just it. If you took Kingdom Hearts 3 or God of War 4 or whatever, and you gave them the graphics of their very first original games in the series, it doesn't make them bad games. They're still going to play awesome. They're still going to be a ton of fun. The story is still going to be really, really mesmerizing. Like, there's no getting away from that. It's just a simple fact of the matter is it wouldn't look as good. There wouldn't be all the runes and inscriptions and detail on Kratos' fucking ice axe. There wouldn't, you know... Sora's...
You couldn't count the freckles on his ass.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, Sora's drive forms, their animations wouldn't be as loud and wonderful and magical Words. Explosions and shit. But it wouldn't make them bad games. It would still make them just fucking fine.
Yeah.
You know? So...
It's like, you can still have really pretty games that control like ass.
Oh, yeah. There's a few of those.
Like, I hate to bring it up, but as some critics would attest, Yooka-Laylee.
Nah, you bastards.
They feel that the turning and stuff, like, it's... The camera's too far forward on Yooka-Laylee, so when you tap to turn, you know, it sticks a little bit. Or no, it goes too fast, and it feels unnatural.
Yeah.
So, you know, that game looks amazing, but it may not control the way someone would come to expect now.
Exactly. Or another example of a really, really pretty game that's just not good is, in my opinion, the Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
Yeah.
Because it's a really pretty game.
It is so pretty.
It's just god-awful.
Yeah, it's so fucking boring. Like, I played that game for, like, 16 hours and got, like, nothing done.
Yeah, it's like, god, fuck. So it's just that, like, graphics don't make a game. So we're not gonna, I mean, we just talked about it for, like, 5 minutes, but...
Yeah.
But, like, when we say what makes a game good, and if your friends ever ask you what makes a game good, I swear to God, if graphics comes out of your mouth, I will find you.
And disagree.
No, not this time. And I'll tell your mother.
Oh, you're in trouble.
Oh, shit.
What do you mean you're 30 and she's in a retirement home?
I don't care. She'll still whoop your ass.
We're going to call that receptionist. She's going to get us on the line with her.
Receptionist will be like, what are you calling about? I'll tell the receptionist. She'll be like, okay, we have procedures and protocols for that. We need to strap her down.
Boy's looking for a whooped ass.
But graphics by no means ever make a game. Like Jukebox said, an example of that is it's Shovel Knight. It's like, by no means is it like the graphics are fucking amazing, but it's like comparing it as 16-bit graphics / 8-bit graphics, they're fucking amazing.
Yeah, they're beautiful, like hand-drawn sprites.
Yeah, which is what they are. So, you said soundtrack. One thing I wanted to mention to what makes a game good is, I know it's vague, I know it's a little cliched even, but it's the overall experience. Because it's that specifically is a big reason why I'm such a huge fan of RPGs, and I don't care for racing games, I don't care for sports games, I don't care much for like Call of Duty or anything. Like, I've admitted time and time again, if they remake Modern Warfare 2,
yeah,
like, I'm gone.
The online's fucking dandy for that.
Y'all ain't hearing from me for a couple weeks. Jukebox is going to be solo running the podcast, but not actually. I'll be here, but...
Welcome to Infinity Games Podcast, episode 42. I am here alone in this vast universe. Calrix has... still not been found. We tried his room. We looked where his PS4 is, but he's still missing. I don't think he got out of the store. We just don't know which one. This has been Infinity Games Podcast, episode 42. And when we find him, we will tell you the asterisk thing. Goodbye.
Pew pew guns.
Welcome back.
Yay. But fuck was I talking about? That took all of my attention span away.
Yeah, you're trying hard not to laugh. No, you're talking the fuck
experience. The experience.
You like RPGs, you're not necessarily kind of other genres.
So I will admit, like, I've played some Call of Duty in my time. But the main thing is I can't get into them really hard because I don't give a fuck. Because it's like, ooh, you kill some guys, you die a few times, like, hey, I leveled up from level 34 to level 35, I have an AK-47 that I can start using now, fucking start grinding the next level out. It's part of the same reason why I kind of fell out of Overwatch. I enjoy Overwatch, I have a lot of fun playing Overwatch, but the difference is, there's no reward.
Yeah.
You know, whereas...
Rewarding players is so important.
Exactly. And that's why I feel for, like, the completionist, where it's like, he puts in, like, hundreds of hours, and then it's like, you get nothing! And I'm like, fuck.
Here's this little coin with shit on it.
Yay. But,
so, like, the experience is so subjective, too, though.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said it was vague.
Yeah, it is vague. But, like... So, something as universal as grinding...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, grinding can be as boring as fuck... Like, it currently is with, like, Duel Links for us.
Oh, God.
Like, the grind is super fucking boring, and it feels so unrewarding to not get stuff time after time after time.
Yep.
Not getting our drops. But, at the same time, you know, grinding in Final Fantasies it's fun. Except for the first one.
Yeah, the first one is ass.
Like, you know, you get into a battle with monsters, you actually have, like, to strategize a little bit. You know, manage your resources and whatnot. Like, there's a reward to actually beating them. Like, they drop stuff for you and whatnot.
Especially if you have to grind in, like, later dungeons. And by then, it's like, every enemy is unkillable without a certain type of weapon weakness or a certain spell element weakness or whatever. So it's like, you get into a battle and it's like, shit, two white dragons and a golem. Like, I need ice magic for the golems, and I need to blast the fucking dragons with bows and arrows and lightning magic or whatever, you know? It's like, it's not as simple as like dragon warrior.
I was going to bring that up for the subjectivity thing, because like, I fucking loved Dragon Warrior, but it was literally like, turn in a circle. Monsters dead. Turn in a circle. Monsters dead. And I actually had fucking fun with that.
Yeah.
That's the most basic of grinding in the whole fucking world.
Yeah, it was just so fucking mindless, but it's not. But
like, for me, it was fun. For anyone else, especially people watching, it's like, why are you? Why?
Yeah, right?
Fucking masochist.
The only. Because I have an issue. It's like, I love RPGs, but grinding to max level is like fucking like, you can't get me to do it.
No.
It's a painful process for me. Except in Dragon Warrior 8, Dragon Quest 8, I'm technically not wrong, but
technically,
is in Dragon Quest 8. I got the 3DS remake, and I loved it, and I played the shit out of it, and I've talked about it a little bit here and there on past podcasts.
Yeah.
And I maxed out every character. I maxed out all 6 of them.
Yeah.
I got all of them to level 99. I got all of their best gear. I got the Monster Arena maxed out. And the only thing that I haven't done in that game is complete memory lane, because that is god awful fucking hard. Yeah. It's so unfair. But anyways,
not worth it.
No, not for what you get at the end. It's just not worth it. I looked it up, but it was still cool, because I'll touch on it briefly. Memory lane is, it's a boss rush mode. You literally go back and you fight
rush.
Boss rush. Schweppes ginger ale.
Sploosh.
Skinny dipping. I love that commercial. It's anyways,
so stupid.
I love it so much. Me and my girlfriend, we heard it the one day, and we literally just did that for like 20 minutes.
Oh god!
Every S we could possibly think of, we swept it under the table or whatever.
Should have just gone full Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm. I did quote him at one point.
Hey Sean, what time's the tennis set?
Tennis. Thanks, bud. See you at Wimbledon. So like grinding, like Jukebox said, it's mindless and it's boring sometimes, but it's still fun.
Yeah. Unless when it's not, like, it's so subjective.
Like, did I ever tell you about like the massive like butt hurting I got from my grinding thing?
Oh, was it fucking the levels and stuff?
How's yeah, well, yes.
Yeah, we went hard on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I ranted episode. About that so hard. But no, it was, I learned that I could have literally sped that shit up by like 7 hours.
Really?
Yes.
Why, how?
One of the characters, one of the new characters, Red, one of her skill point trees is knives. Her level 100 skill that she gets when she maxes out her knives is called Blade Cascade. And okay. It's literally, she like juggles a bunch of knives, throws them, and it's 8 random hits of damage among all the enemies. Did you know that if you equip a liquid metal sword to a character, they can hit metal slimes for, like, normal amounts of damage? Because I didn't fucking remember that. So I did it the fucking hard way, with using critical hits and shit. And I read on, a forum after, somebody was like, you dumbasses, give Red the fucking liquid metal sword and use Blade Cascade. You're fucking level 99 in like 3 hours. I'm like, god fucking damn it!
just brag to people now that you did it the slow way.
I did it the fucking original way, you bitches.
Look at my resolve to get max level.
Oh, but,
my rage is real.
Yeah, so, again, I understand the experience is vague, but what I mostly mean by that is I want to walk out of a game or walk out of a session of playing a game, and I want to feel something for it. Like, I don't feel anything when I play some Overwatch or when I play some Call of Duty or whatever. I'm just like, nah, cool, I leveled up a few times, whatever. Whereas I walk out of, like, playing, like, Breath of the Wild or something, and I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ. I need to tell somebody about this, right?
Episode 3.
That's another reason why episode 3. Ha ha! But it's also why I can go back to reading mangas over and over and over again. Because the experience doesn't cheapen. It's still a fucking great runaround every single time.
I think there's some diminishing returns if you don't give it a little time in between.
Oh, absolutely. It's not like I read Bleach once a week or whatever. But
that was like Disgaea, though, because like I beat the game and I was like, hey, I'm going to try and do that thing where you get like insane levels and whatever else. And because you restart the game, like New Game Plus, we mentioned that in a Mechanics Workshop, how that works and the differences and stuff. But like, it just, it wasn't fun. I was, like, sitting through the same dialogue I was sitting through, like, a week earlier. I'm like, okay, can I just go back to the fighting?
Yeah, right? Yeah, no. Definitely, if you want to play a game again, or you want to read a manga again, or you want to watch a movie again, it's like, you gotta wait. You gotta wait a little while. Movies, yeah. I'm especially bad for. I see a movie, and I literally have that whole thing on autoplay in my head for, like, the next, like, month.
Yeah.
Like.
I mean, I used to do that as a kid, but, like.
Yeah.
I know with you and your girlfriend, you must have saw Zootopia how many times?
No, we've actually only seen it, like, 4 times, I think.
And what about Frozen?
Okay, don't wait. I don't talk about Frozen.
Too many times.
Too many times. Not as many as Pirates, but.
I saw Moana. Came out on Netflix on the 20th.
It's wonderful.
It's pretty good. It's better than I expected.
You're welcome.
No.
Oh.
No, I hate that song for that reason.
God fucking damn it, I love that song. But, so yeah, I know we keep getting off topic, but the experience is my, like, main thing about what makes a game good, is I don't have 2 fucks to give about a game if I don't feel some kind of attachment to it, slash, if I don't feel some kind of pride playing it. I love playing the Tales games because the stories are just so fleshed out, and it... Like, I swear they're written by M. Night Shyamalan. It's like, we have a main plot point. I just killed the main bad guy. What a twist! He was working for someone else. I'm like, God, fuck, shit, all right.
You gotta go, bring me to your boss, damn gotta it. Gotta
go fucking fight the entirety of heaven now, like, shit.
Shit-ass tit.
True story, it happens.
Oh, okay, which one?
Symphonia.
Okay.
Yeah, actually. But,
Yeah, and, you know, I agree with everything you're saying. I just feel like there has to be something that causes... that feeling of great experience, like with Breath of the Wild, it's just like the vastness of it.
Me
and like the exploration, that's what gets me.
For me, it's the storytelling.
Yeah,
I don't care how pretty a game is. I don't care how tight its controls are. I don't care if you're literally playing as Jesus, like bitch slapping dinosaurs. I don't care if there's not a solid slash passable story. I have literally zero fucks to give about your game.
It's kind of funny. The one exception is the Mother series, because that's like really mediocre RPG with an exceptional story, and it's right? Like my favorite.
Right?
That's like the one exception for you.
Yeah. But, so it's like, I'm not saying like a game's story has to be absolutely flawless to get by. It's like you look at a couple of games, it's like, I really enjoyed Yooka-Laylee. The story in that's ass.
Yeah. You need your suspension of disbelief sometimes.
Yeah, like, a game doesn't absolutely need, like, a perfect story to be enjoyable and playable. It needs something. And a mediocre story can still be compensated for with, like, really good gameplay and fucking tight-ass controls, and it being super pretty is always a nice bonus. A wicked soundtrack, like we just said earlier.
See, I take that kind of backwards, because... I feel controls are the most important part, because you can have a super exceptional story, but if I can't stand playing through it, I'm not going to finish that story.
No, 100%. No, it's just that honestly,
it's like a combination of things.
Yeah. Let's talk about this for a second. What makes the game good? Fucking controls.
Yeah.
Fucking controls.
Could you imagine Mega Man if he had that little bit of momentum like Mario Bros. Did? Just like, oh, gotta stop for this clip.
Oh. Boop, 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 boop. Do you imagine Mega Man if you can steer in midair?
It'd be wonderful.
It'd be hell. But,
Oh, wait, you can. You're thinking of Castlevania.
No, I'm thinking you can't do that shit in Mario. I was still comparing, like, Mega Man and Mario. I was saying, like, if, like, it was, like, Mega Man jumps in an arc, like, you know, like Mario slash Simon Belmont. Because Mario can slow down.
Yeah.
But he can't. Yeah. He can't Mega Man and do this in midair. No,
I thought you meant if Mega Man can change his direction. I'm like, he can.
Yeah, but he can do those things. He's fucking Mega Man. But yeah, like if Mega Man had like a stuck jump arc like Castlevania.
That game would be horrid.
Oh, it'd be completely unplayable. Damn near. Yeah. Bosses would be 9 times harder than they fucking need to be.
Could you imagine Contra if you had limited ammo?
On next time's episode, what makes a game bad?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, we could do that, actually. But yeah, no, controls are important. Like, they really are. Like, there are a few games where they have, like, half-ass controls. Can't think off, like, the top of my fucking head. But they're still playable. They're still enjoyable. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel the original Castlevanias. I mean, if you watch, like, sequel artists, there's, like, a multitude of reasons why the controls are the way they are and stuff. But at the same time, that game is infuriating because of the controls.
Oh, yeah, exactly. If Simon had, like, a little more freedom to his jump slash and the whip, game would be 10 times better. Maybe not better, but it'd be more fun to play. It'd be easier to play.
Yeah.
That's why Super Castlevania 4 is, like, hot fucking shit, because the whip is literally an extension of your body.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Hot yeah. garbage.
Yeah, I understand when I say experience, it's vague, but the main thing is, a game isn't good unless you feel satisfied after, and of course that's different for everybody. There are the people who can play Call of Duty and shit over and over and over again, who can play FIFA over and over and over again, and they fucking love it, right? And that's all well and good. I'm not judging you. I think you're fucking nuts, but... like, I think he got a few screws loose, but I'm not judging you. Like, it's to each their own, right? It's
a bit of a contradiction there.
I don't give a fuck. But, okay, I'm judging you. But it's a simple fact that it's to each their own. It's like, I love RPGs. I almost exclusively play RPGs.
Except Destiny.
You play
a lot of that.
I play a lot of that. But, It's a different cup of tea for everybody. In my opinion, ultimately, if you don't enjoy a game, then for you it's a bad game. Because there are a lot of games where I'd be like, oh my god, they're fucking shit, and then somebody else will have a completely other opinion. Example: Shadow of the Colossus. I don't like said game. Jukebox loves that game. He loves it to death, and I'm just like, I just don't fucking care.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've gone on record. I will try it again when the remake comes out. I make no promises.
Yep.
But. So, yeah, that's my main thing. My main thing is, like, controls and feeling satisfied and good about what you just accomplished. That's pretty much, for me, what makes a game good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Like, it's the culmination of things.
It is. It's not like, oh, this game is, like, the story's ass and the soundtrack's terrible and the graphics are piss fucking poor, but it jumps when I say it does. Yes. Controls.
Oh,
awesome game. No. 7.2 out of 10. Too much water. Would not play again.
Have you ever heard of the 7-10 problem?
Have I?
No. I'm asking.
No, probably not.
Okay, it's a thing with reviews and critiques and stuff where it's like, if it's good, it gets a 10. If you don't like it, it gets a 7.
That happened to me today.
It's a very real thing. It sucks.
That happened to me today. I was talking to a buddy, and he was like, did you see Wonder Woman? And I was like, yeah, I loved it. It was really good. And he was like, 7 out of 10. Like, are you fucked?
I mean, in the field you're working with some of those people, if they got a 7 out of 10 on a test, they might be happy with that.
I was happy with that. But, and then I was like, all right.
Exactly.
I was like, no, dude, easy 8. He's like, no, 7. I'm like, all right. And then there was one other movie you mentioned. I can't remember for the life of me what it was, though. And it was the same thing. I was like, yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. And he was like, 7 out of 10. I'm like, Jesus, fuck, dude. Like, come on.
Did you like it or not?
Yeah. And he was like, no, I liked it. Just, you know, it wasn't fucking amazing. Fucking 7 out of 10. I'm like, God, fucking.
Yeah, it's just a really weird phenomenon. I don't remember what causes it, because there's, like, an actual psychological...
Lazy fucking people.
Yeah. Well, the one buddy... I don't know what to call him. He was from university.
Beard man.
Yeah, beard man. That works.
Yes.
He's the one who brought it up with me, because I was kind of telling him about some review scores at the time that were totally, like, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, hey, they're giving it, like, a 2. There's no reason it should get a 2.
Yeah.
And then I was telling him how, like, this one game is getting nothing but 10s, and this other game's got, like, nothing but 7s, even though people are saying it's hot trash.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's the 7-10 problem. Here's the reasons why that happens. And it, but before that, he tried to trick me. He's like, well, what would you give it? I'm like, 4.2?
Yeah, 4.2?
He's like, that's oddly specific, but it's also less than 5, so you win.
Yeah, right?
It's like this thing where 5 becomes the new 0.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's people, like, if you've read Nintendo Power back in the day, I mean, it would have to be super terrible to get anything less than a 5.
I mean,
like,
shit.
Like, unplayable trash before it got less than a 5.
I mean, what did Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde get?
I don't know.
We should look into that.
I don't know. I don't know if they had reviews, like...
Probably not.
Out of 5 back then yet.
But, I mean, It's funny. Because I do that a lot. I don't do the 7-10 thing, but I find part of the phenomenon is probably just people who don't want to utilize their brains to come up with a different number.
Maybe.
They're like, it's amazing, 10, or, oh, it was all right, 7, instead of, why don't you say, like, 7.5 and fucking explain?
Yeah.
Like, where does it lose the other 2.5 points?
If you think it's hot trash, why is it still, like, you know, a B?
Yeah, that's why, again, episode 3, I'm not going to ramble, but that's why when we were rating Breath of the Wild, we were saying like 9.5 or a 9 out of 10, because it's like, as awesome as it fucking is, it has problems.
Yeah.
The frame rates, the weapons breaking until you like really get used to it, the weapons breaking was always just a pet peeve. I understand why it's there, it's annoying, it's a video game, let me have unbreakable shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it's like we talk about it and we discuss. And so I feel like that's part of the problem is the people who are just like, I don't know, especially with like IGN and stuff. It's like, I'll throw shade. I don't care. It's like, yeah. I can only imagine that they're like, hey, Brian. Yeah, boss. Did you get that review for Ukulele out? It's almost done. Okay, great. I got to see that in the next few hours. Shit. 7 out of 10. Like, Brian, why does it get 7 out of 10? Well, you know, it's good, and it looks good, and
I have a nostalgia boner. Please,
I have a nostalgia boner for a little while. You know, it soundtrack's great. Nostalgia boner. So you know, 7 out of 10. All right, fuck it, print it. You know, like I honestly feel like it. The main thing causing that would probably just be laziness. I really do.
Yeah.
I've never had an issue if people are like, what would you give it out of 10? Like, I never have an issue coming up with an actual fucking number.
Yeah.
Ever.
I usually put a decimal in there. It kind of throws people off.
Well, yeah, I do
especially
too.
Especially if I put two decimals in there and doesn't end in a 5 or 0.
7.2.4. What?
2 points? What? This ain't the Dewey Decimal, man.
Yeah. Are we talking like game updates now or whatever? No. 7.2.4 out of 10. Walk away.
How do I even...
Power slide down the hall. I don't know.
4.3852.
3.1415. That's pi. No, it's not. It's my rating. Shut up.
Just keep going. A couple hundred more numbers in there.
Did this dude
Radical
just rate...
Radical 2.
Yeah, did this dude just rate a game with pi? Yes, sir. I believe he did. What a badass.
I'm actually going to do that next time I find a hot trash game. I'm just going to rate it Radical 2.
Yes. But yeah, I don't know.
But it's rad, isn't that a good thing?
Yeah. One thing is we had a friend once, I literally don't know what to call him. We'll call him Mr. Smith. We'll call him Mr. Smith. Fuck it. So he same as us, like he loved games, right? Like, I mean shit, all of our friends do. But his main thing was, if he was interested in the game, he had to watch the reviews. He had to read the reviews on it. And if it didn't get good reviews, he didn't care anymore. And I'm just like, bruh.
It's so subjective.
Yeah, you need to fucking expand your horizons. Like, how do you know that the dude who's reviewing, like, the new Call of Duty didn't literally hate all of the other ones?
Yeah.
And he's just, like, biased as all Christ.
He's just like, I don't like shooters, but I can't say that, so this game gets a 3.
Yeah, right? Like, this game gets a 3.14159 out of 10 because reasons. And I was just like, dude, you gotta open up a little. You gotta kind of, like, instead of reading the reviews and watching the reviews, like, just watch, like, the first 30 minutes of the game or something.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, like, yeah, shit, it kind of fucks you over for the first 30 minutes. But, I mean, it's better than just being like, oh, fucking IGN or Game Trailers or whoever said it's only a 4 out of 10, so I don't even care anymore.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, maybe it's a 4 out of 10 for them, but maybe it's a fucking 8 for you. You know? Like, you don't know. That's like jukebox. It's like everybody was kind of pooping on Ukulele. Everybody was giving it, like, what, 6s and 7s?
Yeah, even lower than that. Like, or even... I saw 4s.
I saw
it.
I think...
Once in a while, there was a 2.
I think the lowest I saw was a 5, but I mean...
Okay.
But still. So it's like... And we literally played it for like 4 hours, and we loved every fucking second of it.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous. It controlled good. The soundtrack was fucking awesome. Shovel Knight's buff as shit in 3D. But, and it's was just
awfully tight armor in 3D.
Damn.
It's just latex.
That's a real good, cup you got there. But, and again, if you want any kind of clarification on how amazing Yooka-Laylee is, like, go watch episode 4. I literally fucking rant and rave about it for like an hour straight.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. But,
and you know, this whole thing about the reviews and like how they may give it a shit mark and you just drop it so you don't play it and realize that it's like your favorite game or something.
Yeah.
I mean, for us, you know, we've played a couple hundred games. We kind of reached the point where we can like watch a trailer and be like, yeah, I'm probably going to like that.
Yeah.
And like 9 out of 10 times we're actually totally accurate. Yeah. It's like, man, I did not need to see more than the first 5 minutes of gameplay to know if I'm going to fucking like this game.
That's like, I saw a trailer. I saw literally a 4-minute trailer for a game called Fortnite. Comes out in 2 weeks or whatever. Unfortunately, I'm not buying it because I'm buying Final Fantasy 12 instead. But
we'll have a whole podcast on that one.
Yeah. but literally, I watched a trailer. I watched 4 minutes of it and I was like, this would be awesome. It's cute. Like, I like the animation style. It's very, it's bubbly and cute. I'll show you before I go home or whatever, just real quick. But, it's bubbly and cute. It has, like, base building. Like, you literally have to build your fortress to keep out, like, the zombies or the mutants or whatever. Okay. You can craft weapons. There are classes you can level up. Like, it's fucking cool. I think it'd be so much fun to play that with a few friends. It'd be fucking great. Like, squad up. But, you know, it's just that. It's like, you know, Jukebox and I, we've been around the ring a few times. We've been through, like, literally every system there is damn near.
Oh, fuck. I got a small story for you.
Oh, Christ. But, so it's like Jukebox said. It's like, we can literally look at a game, watch a trailer, and be like, that'll probably be a lot of fun. And 9 out of 10 times we're right. Sorry, 7 out of 10 times we're right. My bad. No, 9 out of 10 times we're right. So it was disappointing for Buddy, because there were a couple of like good gem games that he just wrote off because they got quote unquote bad reviews. And I'm like, dude,
don't even
like smack. So I don't know. So Jukebox has a story that apparently I need to hear.
Okay. So, 2 days ago, I guess there was a antique mall who had a kind of a parking lot sale. So vendors that weren't necessarily already in the mall kind of set up their tables and all their wares and stuff. Literally the first table I looked at, Sega Saturn.
Oh shit.
I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't get it. Incredibly sad that I didn't, but it had no cords and it uses a proprietary AV plug and it didn't have any controllers and the back flap was off of it. So when the back flap is off, because, you know, it's kind of hard to lose something like that. It probably means they were trying to replace the battery. And I got the feeling they may have, like, fucked something up or not been able to replace the battery. And we're just like, throw away those cords. We can still sell the box.
Yeah.
Some collector will do it.
Jackasses.
Yeah. But it was $15. And I'm just sitting there like, just struggling. I went back to it. I wanted it. But
you should have done it.
Probably. But, you know, because you got to get that plug. It would have been $15 for that. It would have been $15 for the power connector. Because I think the Sega ones, they have specific serial numbers on it. I don't know what the ratings were. I probably could have found a generic plug.
Probably.
But then I also got to buy controllers, and they probably cost $20 each.
Yeah.
It didn't have games with it. There was, like, whatever sports game 96 inside the console already, but I don't even give a shit about that.
Yeah. So by the time you had it like all up and running and worth playing, you probably would have dropped upwards of $100 on it.
Yeah, I might as well have just bought one from a local store.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So, I mean,
God, it hurts so much. I've literally never held a Saturn in my life until that moment.
Oh.
It like broke my heart. It was like, oh, it's so cool. Just like flinging it around.
You're a nerd.
Yeah. Oh, I want a Saturn. That's okay.
One day.
I have all the important Sega consoles except a Saturn. Like, I don't have a CD, I don't have a 32X, but who gives a fuck about either of those?
Literally no one!
And if you do, it's because you have tons of money to buy the actual good games for them.
Yeah.
Because, like, Chaotix demands a bunch of money now. And like,
yeah, Chaotix fucking is like $70, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fucking crazy now. Stupid. Because that's, like, the only really, really good game. Like, I mean, they have, like, Doom and Star Wars and stuff, and those are good games. But Chaotix is the only one made specifically for that system that's really good. And then, like, the Sega CD, it's, like, okay, you want Snatcher, you got $300?
Yeah.
I mean, fuck you.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, let me just take my, like, 3 days of work.
It's like, Sonic CD, fucking even that's getting up in price now, mm-hmm. as one of the most common games on the system. There's just, like, there's better things you can do than buy the fucking failures of Sega consoles.
Yeah.
Like, the big one with the Saturn, which made me so sad, is because if you get a Saturn, you pretty much have to get into imports.
Yep.
Because Saturn failed miserably in North America, but in Japan, it kind of flourished a little bit, and they got all the arcade ports.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Dreamcast is an extension of the Saturn with better 3D.
Yeah, pretty much.
In Japan.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was going to say, I had to tell you about this. I was working with Buddy, since we're talking about, like, things we want, like, things we've got, and that is, I was working with him, and he was like, do you play video games? And I was like, No. I just run a podcast centered around them with my best friend, but no. So he's like, oh, cool, what do you play? And I was like, you know, Destiny, I'm excited for Final Fantasy. And he's like, oh, I love Final Fantasy. And I guess he plays like 14. He's played all of the other ones and everything. So we started talking about it. And he was like, yeah, which ones do you have? And I was like, I mean, the one is literally my second most valuable game. He was like, which one? I go, 7. He's like, oh, yeah, that's an expensive game. I go, yeah, it's a Black Label. He goes, oh, that's even better. I go, with a misprint on the back. And he goes, wait, what?
What?
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. He's like, those are a thing? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, first print run, bitch.
Yeah.
You're welcome, bitch.
So he's like, fuck. He's like, how much does one of those usually go for? I was like, I could probably get upwards of $100. Easy.
Yeah.
And then he was like,
Canadian.
And he was like, you said that was only your second. I was like, yeah. And he's like, what's your first? And I was like, you don't know what it is. He's like, try me. Class of Heroes G2. What? I fucking told you. He was like, how much does that one go for? And I was like, I mean, last time we kind of dug into it.
250-ish.
He's like, Jesus. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, I just thought that was funny. He's like, you think you're a Final Fantasy fan.
Check this shit. Humble break. Not so humble.
Shameless plug of my superiority.
Oh, God.
Ego boost.
So, you know, is he actually hardcore? Or is he a scrub?
No, he's pretty deep in.
Okay.
Like he's played 7, he's played 8, he's played 9, he's played... he told me he was actually streaming 9, so I was like, oh, nice. You have to give me your stream ID. But, so, like, you know, he's actually a pretty big Final Fantasy fan. I was like, respect.
You know, I've met enough people who are like, oh yeah, I'm a hardcore gamer. I play Gears of War. I play Halo. I play COD. I've got like all the Maddens.
And I'm just like, oh, you fuck.
I mean, okay, your definitions of hardcore is a little bit different than mine, but I'm going to have a really hard time holding a conversation about games with you.
That's just it, because it's like, they're not fucking wrong, because it's like, I guarantee they'll shit stomp me sideways in a game of COD. Okay, but
you could play literally nothing but Pokemon Go. Several hours a day. You're a hardcore gamer, but it's very different from our definition of a hardcore gamer.
You need to broaden your horizons.
All of them.
Yeah, literally.
All three.
But I mean, so yeah.
Think it's time to wrap this up?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Things and stuff.
We look forward to episode 42 where Kelrix goes missing to play COD.
I like that it's episode 42 again. Yeah. I just realized that, you sneaky fuck.
Yeah, you were gone so long that we reached, you know, almost a full year of this podcast.
You know that even if I disappeared, I'd just pop up for 42. You'd get like some like fucking collect call from Japan and be like, dude, okay, episode 42, what are we doing? You've been gone for 20 episodes. But episode 42, bro.
Yeah, okay, I'm good with English.
Yeah.
Bruh.
Why not?
The thing with the asterisk, beep. Fucking reception.
Shit, there. We lost him. Comes back. I'm flying back!
Just teleport.
Yeah, no, I just fucking caught that, you sneaky, sneaky snack.
Yes.
Fuck, that's funny.
But that's okay. That's a long ways from now. This is episode 14, and I'm Jukebox Hero.
And I'm Kelrix King.
Thank you for listening.
Bye!
Bye!